Good morning. Welcome each one here. Special welcome to the visitors. Bring greetings in Jesus' name. I trust you won't fall asleep. You've heard this before. I'm sure it's a familiar story that I'd like to look at. Story of David and Goliath. I'd like to think about faith in faith to fight our giants. And I'd like to look at the account of David and Goliath and learn from David's faith. Learn from David's confidence in God in fighting the battle he had to face. We all have giants in our lives. Many people here, I don't know what your giants are that you're facing. It's probably not some 9.5-foot giant armored soldier with a huge spear trying to kill us, but I think we all have giants, big things staring us in the face that look just as scary, just as overwhelming as a real giant. In fact, it may be worse than a physical giant. We have an enemy. We have Satan trying to do anything he can to destroy our soul. Satan is a giant, yes, but sometimes it's not always easy to identify him as a giant. Many times he comes in small ways, small seeds of doubt, occasional worry, occasional fears, small questions of distrust, little burst of anger, a look or two of lust, a thought of discouragement. But they can grow. They can grow into big things, big, huge strongholds, giants that are hard to overcome, hard to conquer. We all have different issues. We all have different temptations, different discouragements, different battles. But I think one thing they all have in common is that all of our battles begin in the mind. You think about that. That is where all spiritual warfare happens. Our mind is where we have conversations back and forth between God, between Satan, God telling us to do right, Satan trying to convince us, trying to persuade us to do wrong. It's in our mind where we think, where we reason, where we make decisions. It's our mind that tells us whether to think negative thoughts, to think positive thoughts. Temptations come into our mind. Yes, temptations come from without. They're presented to us outwardly, but it's in our mind where we decide, are we going to accept that? Are we going to reject it? Our mind is our control center. It's where the battle is fought. And if Satan can control our mind, he got us. He got us in bondage, and he will conquer other areas of our life. But the opposite is also true. Praise God. If God controls our mind, then we can conquer Satan. We can conquer and win the battle. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, I don't want to come across like I have it all figured out and how to slay every giant that comes my way. This is a very real struggle for me. I'm preaching to myself, first of all, and I want to learn myself how to better equip myself in to have the faith needed to fight the battles of life. We all need our faith strengthened. We all need our courage renewed to fight the battle, and that's the purpose of this message, to strengthen our faith in God. I'd like to read this account, 1 Samuel 17. You can turn there. And I would like to just ask for some volunteers to help read this. We could have 3 volunteers. I'll split this up in different verses. 3 volunteers to read. The first, would like verses 1 to 19, if someone could read that. Russ, and then verses 20 through 37. Carter. And then verses 38 to 58. Kendall. So verses 1 to 19, if you could read it clear and loud so everyone can hear.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Chittah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Chittah and Azekah in Ephraim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set to battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a battle between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had rings of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a cubit beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of the sword? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and were greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 oldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next went him Abinadab, and the third Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brother an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brother, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brother fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines.
Okay, thank you. And now verses 20 to 37.
And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should divide the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have you done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same servant's heart failed because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee.
Okay, and then verse 38 to the end of the chapter.
And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, unto thou come to the valley, and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehem.
Okay, thank you. Incredible story. We heard it many times. It's good to read over it all and see how the account actually happened. Impressive attitude that David had. He called himself a servant many times, not looking to bring honor to himself. Pretty impressive giant that David faced, if you want to call it impressive. 9 foot 9 inches tall. I brought a tape measure along just to give you a little idea how big he is compared to me. If I can do this. That's 8 feet. Might have to go down to the second. 9 feet. 9 feet 9 inches. Well, right there compared to me. Pretty big man. He wore a coat of mail, 5,000 shekels. It's a coat that comes out to about 150 to 160 pounds on him he was carrying. His spear, says like it was like a weaver's beam, and the spearhead alone weighed 600 shekels, 18 to 19 pounds, just the head. He had his own personal shield bearer that went before him, and humanly thinking it was pretty impossible to go out and fight this giant. In our human minds, he was invincible. He was not able to be taken down. His armor, you would think it's impenetrable. But the armies of Israel forgot one important factor. They left God out of the picture. And that made all the difference. Luke 18:27 says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." God turns impossible situations into possible. I'd like to look at 8 ways that we can learn to strengthen our faith to fight our giants. Number one, conquer or be conquered. Look back in verse 8 and 9. Goliath came out and said, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Either we conquer the giants that we face, or they will conquer and rule us, and we will serve them. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, let's turn to that. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It sounds like conquering and overcoming to me. We don't have to be servants to fear, but we can conquer and overcome. Point number two, preparation. David had preparation. He had prepared long before this battle. He had practiced with his sling, I believe, many times. And he had fought with the lion, fought with the bear. He knew how to use his sling. I read that most shepherd boys were very excellent with their slings. They spent day after day practicing. They often herded their sheep with their sling and stone. If a sheep got too far away, they would cast a stone out and on the other side of it, and it would turn and come back. They knew how far they could throw a stone. They knew where to land it. They were excellent marksmen. They would kill predators that would threaten their herd. They also knew what stones worked best with their sling and for the target they were trying to hit. They were familiar with using it. It was like an extension of their hand. Now I know that God helped David to guide the stone to hit its mark, but this was not the first time that David had used his sling, and I don't think he went that day knowing that he would have to use his sling to fight Goliath, but he was prepared. And he knew how to use it. You don't get ready when the giant comes. You need to be ready when it comes. And we also need to prepare. We also, the day of battle is not the time to prepare. It's no time to learn how to use the sword. If you are not in the Word every day, most likely you won't know where to turn to when you face a giant. If prayer isn't a part of your daily life, most likely you won't have the strength to stand against the devil. To have the power of Christ in our hearts and in our minds, we need an everyday relationship with him. And that relationship takes time. It takes preparation. And preparation also involves being faithful in the small areas of life, not just the big battles, but small, little decisions that come along. If I'm not faithful in the little things, how will I handle a big test that comes to me? We see that in David's life. When he was anointed, he was out taking care of the sheep. And when his father told him to go check up on his brothers, he faithfully went and did what he was told. Number three, perspective. David had a God perspective. He looked beyond Goliath. He looked beyond that big tall man, and he saw God. Yes, from a human perspective, this giant was terribly frightening. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. There was fear there. But David looked beyond the giant and looked beyond himself. And he remembered what God had done for him in the past, and he knew what God could do for him. He knew the power that God had. He knew that God could deliver them from this giant. Verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Where do we look when we face fearful things? Do we just see this big, huge giant in front of us and quake in despair? Or do we look to God and see things from his perspective? How big is our God? Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. How big is our God? God is bigger and stronger than any giant we will face. The song on the program night, bigger than any mountain. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, having a God perspective will help us to remember what God has done for us, what he endured. He went to the cross. He died for us, and I think that helps us to face our giants, to think about what he went through for us. Number four, David had purpose. He had a purpose in fighting Goliath. Goliath had crossed a line in David's mind when he defied his God. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He was not going to sit still when someone talked about his God that way. Why is no one doing anything about this? And then his brother accused him of being there just to see the battle, just for maybe see what was going on. But again, we see David making his purpose known in verse 29. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? There was a cause at stake here, and something needed to be done, and he was willing to put his life at risk for the cause of his God. And so he goes to Saul and offers that he will go and fight. And again, he gets pushback. He gets opposition from Saul that he should not do it. Saul says, "Thou art but a youth. What do you think you're trying to do?" But David, again, makes his purpose clear and his faith strong. What about you? What about me? Do I have a purpose in my battles? Do you see the cause at stake? That giant of fear in front of you, that temptation that's oozing with lust, so hard to resist, that rage of anger, that anger that boils out, that questionable music that maybe is ungodly or not God-honoring, the negative gossip that's so easy to spread, the discouraging, worthless thoughts of low self-esteem, or the haughty thoughts of what all I can accomplish. Do we see these things as defying our living God? Sometimes I think I don't look at it that strongly or that seriously. It's not that big of a deal, is it? But Satan has a purpose in these things to get us to turn away from God, to defy our God. And we also need to have a purpose to fight against them. We need to draw a line and say, that is defying my God, and we won't let that go. We won't sit still. We need to go to battle. I also sometimes wonder if we don't really want to get rid of the giant or the sin completely in our life. I kind of like to coexist with it. I don't want to completely give it up. I sort of like it, or maybe I do confess it just to God and get rid of it for a little, but then soon I go looking for it again, kind of like catch and release fishing. You fish, pulled in, that's a nice fish. I know I can't keep it, throw it back in, pretty soon go fishing for it again. Why do we go fishing for something that's not worth keeping or satisfying just for the fun of it? Is there not a cause? Do you know your purpose? After David hit Goliath with a stone and the giant fell down, he didn't call it good enough, but he went over and cut off his head. I know it sounds gruesome, but he made sure he was dead. He made sure his job was thorough and complete. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." Do we have a purpose? Do I have a purpose? Number 5, progress. David made progress in his life. He kept record of his victories. He kept record of how the Lord had helped him. And it was something he could look back to and see where he came from. And it gave him confidence for the battles in front of him. Verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Verse 37, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." David made progress. Am I making progress, or am I living in continual defeat? Yes, we fail, we falter, and fall sometimes, but like that poem that on the school program about winning the race, progress is made when we get up and win and run the race. Zero progress was made when he laid there in defeat, and doubt, self-pity. Sometimes we feel like we're not making much progress. I'm just a failure. I'm not worth much. What's the use? I'm all alone. No one cares. We need to stop. We need to stop those negative thoughts and think about the times when God did help us. Think and read about the promises of God in his word. Look for the good in the hard time and just do the next right thing you know to do. Get up and run the race. I would also encourage you that when you have a victory, write it down. That maybe seems a little hard to do, but if you have a specific battle you're fighting, maybe keep a little victory list of that you can go back to and see when and how God helped you. See the progress you made. It will boost your faith and your confidence to fight the battles ahead. I thought of that yesterday playing ball. You hit a good ball, gives you confidence to go out to do it again. I think David did this after this battle with Goliath in verse 54. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Why did he put his armor in his tent? I don't know for sure, but I like to think that maybe he went back and looked at that thing, remembered his victory, how God had helped him overcome that giant. This wasn't the last time he fought with the Philistines. Many more battles were coming, but it was a step of progress. Number 6, David had protection. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he tried to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto him, Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Picture a child with his dad's coat or boots on. It's maybe how David felt. It's maybe how he looked. He couldn't function like this, much less fight. He had not been trained with them. He was not used to them. David knew what worked. David's armor was invisible, but it was all powerful, and it was his protection. We know God works for our protection. We know the power of the Holy Spirit works. We know the armor of God works in Ephesians 6. And yet sometimes we begin to make compromises away from God. We try other things or other methods. We think we can fight in our own strength. If I just have my devotions once a week, that's good enough. I can make it on that. Or if we just listen to the Spirit and He'll tell us what to do, we don't obey or line it up with the Word. It's making compromises. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When I think of a stronghold, I think of a fortress or a castle. That's bigger than any giant, and God is able to take it down. And there's protection behind His mighty hand. Number 7, power. David had power. He knew where his power source was from. Verse 45 and 46. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David knew his power source. He was not trusting in himself. He was not trusting in his sling or stones. Yes, he had what he needed. He had a part to play, but he was trusting in God to help him. And he went in faith that he would help him. I don't know if David saw that empty spot on Goliath's forehead. I tend to think maybe he did. Maybe that was his mark. But he trusted God to help him guide the stone to its mark. And he didn't go out in just faith alone. He didn't just go out there and stand and wait God wait for God to knock Goliath over, but there was action needed on his part. It says, David went and hasted and ran toward his giant. Faith, the faith it took to do that, it's pretty outstanding to run toward your enemy. Who or what is your power source? Do you cower in fear of your giant? Does Satan have you paralyzed, unable to move, and confused? Here, the whole army of Israel was locked down in fear. They were stuck in fear. But it took the courage of just one brave shepherd boy and the faith and the power of his God to break the bondage of the army was in. Do we believe in the power of God? Do we believe that God has the power to overcome our giants today? And then number 8, praise. David praised God. Verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He gave praise where praise was due. Why did he fight this giant? So that all the earth would know that there is a God in Israel. It was not to bring glory to himself. It was not so that he could be proclaimed a great warrior. No, it was to praise his God. And I think if we are serving or if we're fighting for any other motive than to bring glory to our God, we can expect to fall. Often our problems have to do with our motives. We're fearful what others may think. We don't want to confess this or that because we're afraid of the repercussions. I can't admit to this thing or whatever it is because maybe my children might disrespect me. On and on we can go, making excuses because I'm thinking only about myself and how it affects me and not about if it brings glory to God or not. We should be willing to do whatever it takes so that God can be honored in our lives. That is what he wants. It's what he deserves. The battle is the Lord's. In closing, you can turn to Joshua 23. Joshua 23 and verse 10. For the Lord hath driven, verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. God is fighting for you. He's fighting for me. If we have faith. What giants are you facing today? The giant was real for David, and giants are real for us today. But we serve the same God as David did, and he will fight for us as he promised if we put our faith and our trust in him. Let's kneel for prayer.